True Crime Anonymous may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hey everyone, welcome back to True Crime Anonymous. I just kind of want to do like a breaking news type of thing. This happened in Abington, Massachusetts. I am recording from Massachusetts, so this is pretty close to home, and it's a pretty big deal around my area, all over the news. This was the Zaccardi family, three children, two parents, dead. Basically looking like a murder-suicide at this point, all died from gunshot wounds. A family member had found the mother bleeding and unresponsive downstairs on her couch, and the family member was there to pick up Alexis for school. Alexis is the 11-year-old daughter. They also had 9-year-old twins, Nathaniel and Catherine, but this family member was there to pick up Alexis, and she didn't answer the door. There was nothing going on, so she went inside and found the mother bleeding and unresponsive on the downstairs couch and called the police. Timothy Cruz is one of the police officers who responded, and he said this was a horrific scene, naturally. 7:30 a.m. is about the time that this happened, and he said it was an awful, awful scene. The police located the children and the father dead upstairs. All died from apparent gunshot wounds. The parents were Deirdre and Joseph Zaccardi. Now, at this time, it is looking like Joseph, the father, is the one who did the killing and then killed himself. So it looks like to me maybe he killed his wife downstairs, went upstairs, killed the children, and then himself. That's just my opinion. There's been no specific reports out yet of the actual events that unfolded in that house. That is just my personal opinion. There's been lots of commentary on Deirdre, the mother. She worked at a place called EMI Strategic Marketing in Boston, where everyone absolutely loved her. She was there for almost 20 years, pretty much since that company had started. She had a welcoming smile. She was funny. She had this can-do attitude. She was super organizational. And all of these qualities made her indispensable to the company. Everyone just thought she was great. And everyone at work said she loved her children. She shared stories of their accomplishments, whether their accomplishments were big or little, whatever. She was so proud of her children. She also loved to cook. She had tons of recipes, and she loved, loved, loved the holiday cookie swap at work. That was like her thing. She was all about it. I love me some cookies. So she probably made some awesome cookies if, you know, people are talking about her this way. And she started off as a receptionist in the early years working at this company. Then she got promoted to the office manager. And, you know, she was managing everything from bookkeeping to onboarding, you know, new employees and things like that. So she started at the bottom in this company and worked her way up. It shows a lot about her. She was very just can do, gotta get it done. Just a great, great employee, proud of her kids, loved her children. You know, I'm assuming, you know, she loved her husband. The police said that there has been no history of domestic violence between these two at their address. there's not much information available about Joseph, the husband. I do know that he has written 3 children's books. So he's an author of children's, you know, books. And he, as of 2 years ago, has 3 that he has put out. And from commentary under one of the, you know, one of the statuses where people are having all these debates and arguments about these people, it says that Joseph was home since he was a children's author, and he would be playing these fantasy video games all day, just being sloppy and lazy and going increasingly insane, apparently, just, you know, I don't think it's from video games. I just think maybe it's because Deirdre was the breadwinner of the house. Maybe he felt a little, you know, less than her because he's the man. And, you know, in a typical family, you know, typical American family, the man is supposed to be the breadwinner and the woman is supposed to stay home. And, you know, I know that's not how things are nowadays, but a lot of people still think that way. The man is supposed to make the money. The women are supposed to take care of the children and so on and so forth. But Joseph just stayed home, played video games, slept, was lazy and sloppy. And apparently Deirdre was becoming increasingly afraid of him, allegedly. And she was going to take the children and leave him. She just had enough, you know? She just had enough. And so it looks like at this time he felt like his only option was to kill his family and then kill himself because he couldn't deal with the fact of what he had done. And there's not much more information at this time. Just that there is a lot of information about how great Deirdre, the mom, was, and just not too much information about Joseph. Just that he was just not performing as well as he wanted to in the adult life. You know, the mom, she was there for her children. She was part of a twin mom group that, you know, she actually went out and had friends with, you know, and she was just everyone. There was someone who said that she was always kind of like the first one to be there whenever anything was going wrong in their little group of friends, and or whenever anyone needed help, Deirdre was there. And there hasn't been anything bad. No one has said anything bad about her. The children, she was doing an amazing job of raising them. They were all great, great students. The Abington superintendent, Peter Schaefer, wrote to the community, quote, "We are heartbroken to share with you that the Zaccardi family and Abington family died unexpectedly last night. There are 3 young students of this family in our district. This was an unexpected event which deeply saddens all of us. This is a tragedy that will affect the entire Abington community. Counseling staff have been made aware." Goodness. Made available, there we go, to support the students and staff. And that's what they said. That's just pretty much everything that I have been able to find about this case so far. And I'm going to be kind of just giving you guys updates. Maybe like this will be part 1, maybe I'll do a part 2 and part 3, but this will be reported on again. I just wanted to kind of get this out there for everyone who's listening from Massachusetts or has heard about this case and kind of wanted a little bit more information about it. I got it, and I want to give it to you guys, my listeners. And I also wanted to close this out by saying thank you for all the support. We are now available on Google Podcasts, Google Play, and all of the major podcasting platforms like Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and many, many more. The only one we are not available on yet is Apple, and we should be available on that platform probably in the next few days. So I will let you know as soon as we are up on Apple. But thank you guys for your continued support. And if you're listening and there is an option to like or follow or support, please do so. There should be a link in the description to click on and become a monthly supporter. And if you would do that, that would be amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks for taking a listen, and we will be reporting and updating you on this case as it develops. And in the meantime, there will be more episodes on other things as well. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.